Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mike. Thanks for joining us. Today is episode 441, and we are looking back at the most interesting stuff that hit the front page yesterday, June 28th, 2026.
We have a really fascinating mix of topics today. We are going to talk about the EU's latest and somewhat stealthy attempt to pass the chat control law. Then we have some surprising AI benchmark results where the open weight model GLM 5.2 actually beats Claude. After that, a wild story about a user who fed their MRI data into Claude code for a second opinion. We will follow that up with a great philosophical piece on how Robin Williams is the ultimate antidote to AI slop. And finally, we will wrap up with a public radio station in Texas that is literally trying to put you to sleep.
Let us start with the EU chat control story. This one got over 600 points and generated a ton of frustration in the comments. The article is from civil rights activist Patrick Breyer, and he is sounding the alarm about a double threat to private communications happening this weekend. Essentially, European Parliament President Roberta Metsola is trying to resurrect the expired Chat Control 1.0 mass scanning regime, completely overriding the Parliament's rejection of it back in March.
Right. And at the exact same time, there are trilogue negotiations happening for the permanent Chat Control 2.0. Breyer is warning that the worst-case scenario is on the table here. We are talking about the mass scanning of private messages, warrantless scanning orders, and mandatory age verification, which effectively ends anonymous communication in Europe. They have relaunched the FightChatControl.eu campaign to get citizens to email their representatives.
The Hacker News comments on this were incredibly cynical, but probably for good reason. A user named Mike Earn pointed out that this keep asking until they say yes strategy is a feature, not a bug, of European bureaucracy. He quoted several former EU officials who basically admitted that if a vote fails, they just wait, rebrand it, and push it through again when people stop paying attention. It is a zombie bill. It just will not die.
It really is. And there was an interesting technical debate in the comments, too. Someone mentioned the fallacy that lawmakers have, thinking the internet is just a few big providers they can regulate. Technically, anyone can open an encrypted connection from one IP to another. So, as the commenters pointed out, this legislation will just push actual criminals to use bespoke, open-source encryption on private servers, while everyday people using WhatsApp or Signal get their family photos scanned by error-prone algorithms.
Exactly. Though another user, Palata, countered that in practice, the internet really is just a few select providers for 99% of the population. The network effect is so strong that if you force Meta and Signal to comply or leave the market, you effectively capture almost everyone. It is a massive privacy overreach, and it's wild to see it being pushed through behind closed doors in 2026.
Moving from regulation to the tech itself, our second story is from the SemGrep blog, and it got almost 600 points. The title is, "We Have Mythos at Home. GLM 5.2 Beats Claude in Our Cyber Benchmarks."
This one caught my eye immediately. SemGrep launched a multimodal AI pipeline for security tasks, specifically looking for insecure direct object references, or IDORs. They decided to test some open weight models against the frontier models using a simple harness, and they were shocked. GLM 5.2, which is an open weight model from Jipu AI, scored a 39% F1 on IDOR detection. That actually beat Claude Code, which scored 32%, and it did it at roughly 17 cents per vulnerability found.
For context, GLM 5.2 was just released a couple of weeks ago. It is a mixture of experts model with about 750 billion total parameters, but only 40 billion active per token, which makes it super cheap to run. It also has a 1 million token context window. SemGrep noted that they were not even trying to crown an open weight champion. They just wanted to see how much performance comes from the model versus the scaffolding around it. But GLM 5.2 beat Claude Opus 4.8 outright in this raw prompt test.
The discussion on Hacker News was really reflective of a shift I think we are all feeling this year. A user named Pymes said they used GLM 5.2 over the weekend to build a Rust agent, and it only cost them $20, compared to the $100 they usually spend on GPT sessions. But the most insightful comment came from JFAD, who asked why everyone is still so obsessed with using the absolute best frontier models, when halfway decent open weight models can write amazing code for a fraction of the price.
I loved their analogy. They compared frontier models to buying a Ferrari for your daily commute, while open weight models are like a reliable Toyota. The frontier models are constantly getting nerfed or lobotomized for safety, making them unstable for long-term projects. With open weights, you get something slightly less performant, but way more stable. You control the infrastructure.
Yeah, and another commenter named Gert Labs, who runs an AI benchmarking site, chimed in to say that while Chinese labs often have a wider gap between public benchmarks and private evaluations, when you factor in the performance-to-cost ratio, GLM 5.2 really is acting like a frontier model right now. It is a huge moment for open weights.
Speaking of using AI for complex tasks, our next story is a fascinating personal experiment. The title is, I used Claude Code to get a second opinion on my MRI. It got around 380 points. The author, Antoine, had been experiencing right shoulder pain and went to an orthopedic. The clinic did an MRI and diagnosed him with a grade 3 partial thickness tear, but the clinic immediately aggressively pushed shockwave therapy and homeopathic injections called Tramiel.
Which, as a tech guy, immediately set off his scam sensors. He fed the proposed treatment into GPT 5.5 Pro, which correctly flagged that shockwave therapy is specifically not recommended for his condition according to clinical guidelines, and that Tramiel is literally homeopathy with no proven therapeutic indication. So, losing trust in his doctors, he got his raw DICOM MRI files, all 266 megabytes of them, and fed them into Opus 4.8 using Claude Code.
This is where it gets crazy. Claude Code wrote a script to analyze the images and came back with a report saying his tendon was completely intact. No tear at all. So now Antoine has a human doctor telling him he has a severe tear, needing expensive alternative therapy, and an AI telling him he is perfectly fine. He actually had Claude run an arbitration between the two reports, using multiple subagents, and the AI arbiter concluded with moderate to high confidence that there was no tear, just mild tendinosis.
Antoine ends the piece saying he is left in a state of limbo. He does not trust the clinic, but he knows he cannot fully trust the AI either. The Hacker News comments really dug into the epistemology of this. User AceJohnny2 had a great point. He said the solution to uncertain information is not more information, it is better information, and AI cannot currently provide that. He compared it to taking an old car to three different mechanics and getting three completely different, expensive diagnoses.
That is a perfect comparison. Another user, Marcus_Holmes, shared a story about building an AI credit assessor at their day job. It generated incredibly detailed, plausible reports. But when they ran the exact same data through it 10 times, they got 10 completely different results. As he put it, LLMs are designed to produce plausible results, not factual results. Without unit tests or a compiler to verify the output, you are just rolling the dice.
User John Tells All referenced Malcolm Gladwell to explain this, talking about the difference between a puzzle and a mystery. With a puzzle, more data gets you closer to the goal. With a mystery, more data often just makes things more confusing and pushes the goal further away. Antoine turned his shoulder pain into a mystery by adding AI to the mix. It is a great cautionary tale about where we are with medical AI in 2026.
That transitions perfectly into our fourth story, which is a bit more philosophical. It is an essay by Jay Acunzo titled, The Best Response to AI Slop and Online Noise is from Robin Williams. It got 375 points. Acunzo uses the famous park bench scene from the movie Good Will Hunting to make a point about the current state of the internet.
For those who have not seen it, Matt Damon plays Will, a genius who has read every book in the world but has never really lived. Robin Williams plays Sean, his therapist. In the scene, Sean tells Will that he might know everything about Michelangelo from books, but he doesn't know what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. He knows the Shakespearean quotes about war, but he has never held his best friend as he took his last breath.
Acunzo compares Will to ChatGPT. AI has read the entire internet. It knows everything, but it has not lived a life. It doesn't feel or experience. Acunzo argues that in a world flooded with AI-generated advice and content, human-lived experience is the only thing that actually matters. Art is about making sense of human existence by confronting the internal and turning it into meaning. AI cannot do that because it has no internal life.
It is a beautifully written piece, but Hacker News being Hacker News, the top comment immediately deconstructed the premise. User Falcor84 pointed out the irony that neither Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Robin Williams, nor the director Gus Van Sant had actually experienced the specific tragedies mentioned in that monologue. They had not fought on the front lines, and they had not lost a spouse to cancer at that point. They were writers and actors using their storytelling ability to fake it.
I saw that comment.
It is such a sharp observation. But another user, T43562, replied with a really touching counterpoint. They said that yes, actors present a fake version of life, but what they bring to it is human empathy. The commenter talked about sitting by their own mother's hospital bed and changing thousands of diapers for their kids. Those mundane, painful, and beautiful moments are what give us empathy. The AI does not have that well of human experience to draw from, even if it can mimic the words perfectly.
It really makes you think about what we value in content. Are we just looking for information transfer, or are we looking for a shared human connection? Because if it is just information, the AI wins every time. If it is connection, the AI is just a really good parrot.
Let us end today on something a bit lighter. Our final story is titled Marfa Public Radio Puts You to Sleep. It got almost 400 points. Marfa Public Radio is an NPR station in West Texas, and for their fall membership drive, they launched a podcast specifically designed to be as boring as possible so you fall asleep listening to it.
This is brilliant marketing. The hosts literally just read the most mundane bureaucratic documents that keep the station running. We are talking about the FCC compliance rules, the NPR style guide, the Texas Administrative Code, and the Tower Regulations Manual. They tell you up front that they hope you pass out, but ask that when you wake up, you donate to the station.
The Hacker News crowd absolutely loved this. It turns out a lot of tech workers use highly specific, boring audio to deal with insomnia. A user named Gullywumper shared their favorite sleep aid, which is the Northwoods Baseball Radio Network. It is a completely fictional baseball league based in Wisconsin. The games are called by a droning announcer, the commercials are fake and monotonous, and nothing exciting ever happens.
I might actually have to try that one. Another popular recommendation in the comments was the Sleep With Me podcast, where the host intentionally tells meandering stories that constantly interrupt themselves, so your brain can't follow a narrative arc and just gives up and goes to sleep.
User Utellara made a great observation about this whole genre. They said there is a real craft to making something feel safe, low stakes, and impossible to get invested in. But there is also a trap. The moment a boring document becomes a little too old, technical, or oddly specific, it suddenly becomes fascinating to a certain type of nerd mind. You start out trying to sleep to the U.S. postal regulations, and suddenly you are wide awake learning about mail fraud statutes.
That is the most Hacker News problem ever. Accidentally learning about federal regulations when you just wanted a nap.
Well, hopefully we kept you awake and engaged for this episode. That is all we have for today.
Thanks for listening to HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back tomorrow with another breakdown of the top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.